Yet so far we believe every member is a minister of the gospel. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can do great things through you? Well, you should. Turn to the person next to you and say, God can and will do great things through you. Anyway, so it's my privilege this morning to welcome Ellen. He's going to be ministering the word. Now, Ellen and Rosie, they're overseeing the youth ministry, the high school youth ministry. And they're doing a great job. And they're also leading the missions team to Tanzania, to Dar es Salaam, and and yeah, they Rosie and Ellen, they're both huge blessings to us. They've just been incredible in the way they've been supporting me and Sonica and praying for us, and they're just so faithful and blessed. And so we believe that God has placed a big calling on Ellen's life. And so I want to give him this opportunity to minister the word to you this morning. So let's open our hearts and receive. Amen. Let's put our hands together for him.
Oh, thanks, everyone. This morning, I want to actually just share. We're going to watch a little bit of movies. Andre always watches video clips. I thought, well, I better stick with the program and have a video clip. So I organized two video clips, but I needed a bit of help. I had some friends in Durban kind of put it together for me. Then we're going to tell some stories. And sorry for the school kids and the teachers, but we're going to do some maths as well today. Sorry about that. obviously, in between that, we have to have God's word in it. So I've put that like in the middle as well, in the center of the message. So, Tinus, if you can just show the first video clip, please. Okay, so I want to talk about the mission. Is Mission Impossible, but you would have seen the slide just before that I crossed out the impossible and said Mission Possible. So 570 million, what is that? I actually Googled 570 million and came up with some weird things. 570 million dollars was the cost of, there was a cruise liner, Costa Concordia, that sank off the Italian coast last year. But obviously the sermon's not about that. $570 million was how much General Motors stock was sold last year. That was like quite unusual to hear, but that's how much General Motors stock was sold last month. Sorry. And then I also found out there's a 570 million pixel camera. It's like, wow, can you imagine what photos you can take with that? Yeah? And it costs like $35 million as well, but don't think of anyone getting it. And then there was something else. In 2011, 570 million people in sub-Saharan Africa didn't have proper sanitation, which is not so funny, but it's quite a reality check. But it's also not what we're going to talk about this morning. 570 million is the number of people that I believe this church can actually reach in 3 years. Okay, how many of you think that's impossible? When I thought that, I thought, no, that's impossible. You guys all think it's possible? Yes, you're on board. I love it. And what I want to share a little bit about how we're going to do that is through our testimony. And Rian, thanks for your testimony. You've already started your homework already by sharing the testimony with everyone here this morning. And what I want to do is just share what the definition of testimony is and then tell a couple of stories, and then I'll get back to the 570 million later on. Definition of testimony behind there. Basically, a testimony is defined as a formal, written, or spoken statement, especially one given in a court of law, evidence of proof provided by the existence or appearance of something. Then just to tie in with that is the definition of story. And it's slightly different because the story can be true or it can be fiction. So definition of a story is a narrative, either true or fictionist, designed to interest, amuse, or instruct the hearer or reader. Now, I'm going to tell a few stories, and then I'm going to tell a couple of testimonies linked to that as well. Before that, I also want to just check stories. I've been writing a sort of short stories over the years. It's not very long. It's probably about 10 pages, so it's like very short. But it's about life, but it's called Story of Friends. My wife will know. I'm not going to mention much about it, but it's about these forest characters, all these different animals in the forest. And they belong to the Forest Creator Club,
which is church. It's like very lame, but it's like, and each character that we've encountered in our life, I've made that person an animal. And so if you read it, you wouldn't have a clue what it's about. But if I read it or Rosie reads it, we'd know, okay, that animal is now that person. It's a sister or her niece or my brother or whatever. So it's like a really weird story, but it's got testimony in there. If you had to read it and explain it, there would be testimonies coming out from it. And also, I just want to mention, on Friday, we had a memorial service here for Antonov. And for those of you that were here on Friday, it was like really awesome. But what was actually really awesome about it was a lot of people came up and they shared stories. And they were sharing about the surfing stories. They were sharing about skateboarding stories and about how Antonov touched people's lives. And lots of stories. But what was really great about it is there were also testimonies. When people could stand up and say, you know, Antonov was close to the Lord and they know where he's gone and how his walk with God was. And that was even more special than the stories. The stories are cool, but the testimony was like awesome. So I think that was really, really awesome. That even though Antonov isn't with us now and he's up in heaven, his testimonies were still here. And on Friday, his testimonies were shared and touched lives. So that was like awesome. Go for it, guys at the back there. Okay, there's three groups of people I want to speak to this morning. And I'm sure all of us will fit into one of those categories. The first group is those people that have a testimony. It's a good testimony, but you might not have done enough with it. There's still more work that you need to do. I don't think we've ever completed our task here. So there's always work you need to do with in terms of sharing your testimony. That's the first group, group one. Then group two, you've got some testimonies, but there's a certain area in your life that you haven't got victory over. So you can't give a testimony in a certain area of your life. So this message is for you as well. And then the third group is if you're here and you do not have a testimony, you can't testify to having a relationship with Jesus, then that'll be for you as well. So as we go along, just think about which group you fit in and if you have a testimony and if it's a good testimony. Okay, I'm going to just share a little bit about some of my life. Some of you know some of these testimonies, some of you might not. So if you heard it before, then just pretend to smile and see that you're interested. First, I'd like to just testify, before I give any stories, just testify that I've been in a relationship with Jesus for the last 19 and a half years. So, well on that. That's older than some of you sitting here. I don't want to give my age away either. But that's already just a short little testimony. Just telling someone that you are a Christian, you're a reborn Christian, and you walk in a path with Jesus. That's a short testimony, and it takes 2 seconds to say that. So I don't know if any of you, most of you here will be Christians, and I don't know how many of you have actually just gone and told someone else, hey, this is who I am. It's not on there, but this week I was in Durban. And I went to the client. It's the second time I met this client. And it was actually so weird. Sitting there, and I was walking around through this refinery in the Durban heat with all these overalls and hard hats and stuff on, busy dying of heat, but just chatting to the guys, asking them questions, and as we were working. Then later on, we had to drive to another company. And this guy was saying to me, am I a Christian? So I said, why? He says, no, this other guy and him were talking, and his colleague said to him, he says, are you sure Alan's a Christian? Is he one of us? I said, well, why? He says, no, there's something different about him. And I mean, there was nothing. We were just walking, talking. There wasn't any religious or Christian talk. It was just chatting. And for some reason, this guy said, no, he's one of us. It's like, okay, weird. But what that did is it actually sparked the conversation. We said, oh, no, cool, yeah. And I shared about going to India and missions and church life and everything, and he shared about stuff, and it was like so awesome that we could just chat about stuff and share testimonies with one another. Just like, it's almost like a total stranger, because I've only met him once before, so it's like going to a total stranger. So yeah, just from general talking, and just I think as a Christian, just your general attitude to life, I think, shows through, and people can see it. People see it in your workplace. People will know straight away, that person's a Christian, that person's a Christian, that person's a Christian. And I just want to encourage you to shine the light. Okay, before I was a Christian, I was quite a religious person. So I grew up in a Catholic church. I was one of those, I don't know, how many of you have been to a Catholic church before? oh, okay, so you'll know what I'm talking about. When you see those little oaks in front with like a dress on, with like another dress over that dress, and walking around like this behind the priest, and that was me. I was that little guy. Yeah. So I thought that church was about doing that kind of stuff. You know, you're supposed to be an altar boy, and you're not supposed to go and steal the wine in the back. They have real wine there, not the grape juice we have. They have like real strong wine. So as a young naughty boy, you go and steal the wine, and then you go and walk out and pretend to be all holy again. So yeah, that was me. And I lived life thinking, okay, Christianity is about going to church and about being good. So that's just the story. There's no testimony out of that. The testimony will come later when obviously I gave my life to the Lord. So just in terms of my background, I came from a bit of a religious background. Then when I was 10 years old, I hope this things are coming up there. Yes, they'll come up behind me. A lot of you probably don't know and have probably been too shy to ask about what happened to my eye. So there's an opportunity to tell everyone at once that no one has to ask every singly. But when I was 10 years old, okay, so I'll say it softly. That was like 30-something years ago. My brother, a friend, and myself were shooting darts in a little pellet gun at a dartboard, and the dart hit the board and came back into my eye. Sounds bad. It wasn't sore. It was more of a shock than sore. But anyway, I went to hospital, had a couple of operations, and then I started seeing blurry out of my right eye. So I said, okay, cool. I'm an outdoor person, so I'm standing outside there with a patch on my eye watching a cricket game. And what would happen? A ball would bounce, and it would land into the eye that was just operated on. And that, like, messed everything up again. So I had a whole lot of more ops, and after about the sixth op, they said, okay, no, let's stop here now. There's complications. Just leave it as it is. So after that, I've had a couple of other scares. I don't know if you call me accident prone, but these things kind of follow me. I was playing rugby at school, and I ended up in a mall, and I popped out, and a guy, it was my own wing friend of mine, actually didn't see me, got the ball, and he ran over me. And his studs hit me like missed my eye by about 5 or 10 centimeters. And I got raked down from the side here. But it could have easily been a rugby stud in my good eye. But fortunately, it wasn't. Then one New Year's, I was sitting by the fire. And I was just blowing the coals a bit to get it going again to keep the fire. And one of the coals popped out. And where did it end up? Into my good eye. So for a couple of days, I was like kind of not seeing so lucky with the left eye as well. It gets worse. About a year ago, I was putting some of this like this front line on my dogs, and as I squeezed, the poison hit the dogs, and Why I'm actually telling you this story, there is actually a testimony out of it. Those are just stories, and it's cool stories, you know, fun and everything else. It is cool. Or not so cool. But I think what's been amazing is when I had the ops, after each operation, I had to wear a patch on my eye and walk around school with this patch. So you can imagine what a lighty of 10 years, 11, 12 years old, how you'd be ripped off from the other kids. Kids are like, ugly, eh? You, teachers will know, kids are very ugly at school. So I used to get ripped off, you know, oh, there's Popeye, or yeah, there's a pirate, and all this kind of stuff, you know. And you know, if I think back, I should have ended up to be a really messed up person. You know, I should have had really low self-esteem and no confidence and everything because of being ripped off all the time. And it's amazing how God has actually, despite that, or in spite of that, God has actually given me an ability to be confident, not to let that worry me, to be able to carry on with life. I carried on, played rugby, do all these extreme sports, and it never stopped me. And I think I give God the glory, because it could have ended up that I could have just become a recluse and a very sad and bitter little boy and turned out to be worse than I am now. So, yeah, I just want to give God glory that he gave me so much grace to become the person I am in spite of my circumstances. But wait, there's more. There's other circumstances that you'll probably also think are not so cool. Then I went through life. Okay, I wasn't a Christian then. I was still just a religious person. Then I went through life. I went through school, technicon, the army, and first few years of work. And I was far from the Lord because I thought, okay, church now, that was now when you were younger. Now it's time to spread your wings and live life. And I lived life. I partied, I drank a lot, I smoked a bit of pot and stuff like that. So I was a real naughty boy. Far from God. And in this time, though, I look back and I think to myself, even though I wasn't a Christian, how much mercy God showed on me by protecting me. Because I could have easily been killed in any of those times. In the army, I was in a rolled car, and I got out of it with just a couple of bruises and a couple of scratches. I can remember driving under the influence many times, and for example, what happened with Antonov, I believe it was a drunk driver. That could have been me killing someone else, or that could have been me driving off a cliff and being killed. And I just want to testify that God gave so much mercy just to keep me here. He's obviously got a plan, so I'm still here in that time. But then when I met Rosie, and we wanted to get married, we went to the local Baptist pastor and said, okay, well, we want to get married. So he said, no, well, are you a reborn Christian? And I looked at him and said, what are you smoking, dude? What's a reborn Christian? You know, I'm a Christian, you know, I went to church and that was it. So my wife had to say, no, she'll explain it all to me. So I went back that night and she told me what it means to truly give your life, submit your life to Jesus and be born again. So I went through the sinner's prayer and I gave my life to the Lord and got filled with the Spirit and all the rest of it, and it was like really cool. So that's my wife led me to the Lord, so yay on Rosie. And then, you know, after that, God just, from day one, God, all of a sudden, he just gave me this burning desire to be part of his work. I remember I'd have walks on the beach on my own. I'd walk on the beach and God would just talk to me. It was always like walking towards Black Rock. If those of you from Ganubi know where Black Rock is, it's also a cool surfing spot. But I'd walk on the beach and God would say, okay, I want you to do this. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. No, that's fine. And I'd read the word and things would just jump out at me from the word. And so he got me involved in his work, which was like really cool. I always felt the closest to God when I was involved in what he wanted me to do. So I got involved in Sunday school, teaching Sunday school, leading youth groups, leading cell groups or small groups, and just trying to be obedient to what God wanted me to do. So God also, just a testimony of equipping. So God gave me what I needed to do at each time. Some of you will remember a few weeks ago, I also testified the most recent sort of blessing that God gave was that my dad gave his life to the Lord in Stellenbosch a few weeks ago, 87 years old, and he went up and he gave his life to the Lord. And it's just from, it's been faithful. You know, we've been praying many, many years for him, and God was just faithful and drew my dad in and he gave his life to the Lord. So now there's testimonies of God's faithfulness as well. Some of you will also know a little bit about Rosie and myself. We've been trying to have kids for the last 14 years. And that hasn't happened. We've had 8 miscarriages, so that was a bit tough. So a couple of extra life circumstances coming into life. But I think out of all of that, again, there's a testimony that I can stand up here and say, well, God is a God of restoration. He's restored me. He's restored, first of all, he restored my love. There was a time when I was very angry, I was very bitter, and I was actually pulling away from God. But God is very good to soften my heart and just bring me back, bring me at peace, that I don't have that anger or that bitterness anymore. I can be nice and chilled about it now. Then he also is restoring my joy. Obviously, it's quite sad sometimes when you see everyone's kids and you're playing with kids and you don't have kids, so it hurts and it's sad sometimes. But God's he's restoring that joy as well, which is awesome. And he's also restored my hope. There was a book we read where this little guy, Colby, actually died. I think he was 4 years old or so. He died and he went to heaven. And while he was in heaven, he saw this girl. And this girl said, no, I'm your sister. And he said, no, but I don't have a sister. She says, yes, I'm your sister. Don't worry. Just say hi to mom when you get back. And he visited heaven and then he came back and he tells his story. And as it happened, his mom had a miscarriage. And that miscarried baby was up in heaven. So that restored my hope, like totally, to say, okay, cool, there's 8 kids waiting for me. When I get to heaven, there's going to be such a party. You won't believe. You, if anyone wants to come with me, you're welcome to. If you get there before me, then just like kind of get the party going. So when I get there, everything's sorted, okay. All those people that are doing the events, like Show Funky and stuff like that, you guys can go ahead of me and... You're thinking, not likely, I'm much older than you, I'm going to go before you. Okay, another story and testimony I want to share is about, similar to Rian, about work. 9 years ago, I was in a company that got liquidated, so I was basically without work. Up till that time, there was 2 months we didn't get salary, and then the company closed down, so had all the credit card maxed and home loan maxed, and Rosie wasn't working at the time either, so we were both unemployed with a house to pay off and cars and all this kind of stuff. And myself and my business partner decided, okay, we're going to start our own business, but on the one condition, that it's God's business, and that we're going to use our business to further the kingdom of God as we can. We want to give generously. We want the business to work for God. And what was so amazing, that the day before, this was, remember, 9 years ago, so think about the money now and think about what it was 9 years ago. The day before we finished work, we got our first job of 13,000 rand. Now, think about it, 9 years ago, there was a hang of a lot of money. Even today, it's a lot of money. And by the end of that month, the first month of working, starting our own, we had 50,000 rand. And the clients paid by the end of the month. I mean, that's like unheard of. So, you know, God just provided for us, and he has been since. I've given testimonies last week even about God's provision and how he's blessed our business from because of our heart, and he's given us the ability to just give generously. So yeah, I think just from a testimony of God's provision, it's I can spend the whole day telling you about little things that have happened that God's provided for us because of our heart. That Rian was talking about the heart as well. So. Yeah, I can share lots of testimonies on that. Then some other stories about surfing and sports and traveling. I can remember one time surfing at Queensberry Bay, and this fin popped up next to me, like right next to me. And I check the fin out, and it drops down again. I think, okay, now where's this dude gone, you know? And like every, where the surfers in the house? Raise your hands. Warren's there, a couple of other guys, Stephen and everything. You know, we're quite stupid, actually. Because you look at it and you say, okay, there was a dolphin. Cool. There's a nice wave. Carry on surfing. Not so? Generally, that's what we do. And that's what I did. I said, okay, cool. It must have been a dolphin. Like, dolphins swim on their own. Yeah, sure. And about 2 hours later, we got a call. Rosie's trying to shout at us on the beach. And we say, yes, how's it? But They actually came and said, no, there's a shark in the water, you must get out. And like Rosie's saying, come, and get out of the water, you know. Yeah, and that could have easily been my day, that the shark came, took me out, and killed me. But it didn't, so I'm still here. There was another case where I was parachuting, and my parachute didn't open properly. So if you want to go do some sports or something, probably I'm not the best person to go with because you're probably going to have lots of fun. So yeah, I got stuck in my parachute and it got stuck around my arm and it wasn't opening the way it's supposed to. And like, okay, this isn't good. And and I was saying, okay, it's time to sort of get rid of this parachute and open the second one because you got a reserve parachute. The problem is you got to release this side, your little catcher that you release to let the first parachute go and then open up the other one on the other side. The only problem is my one arm was like kind of stuck, so I couldn't kind of get there. But as it happens, and I believe there's no coincidence, somehow I managed to twirl out of the thing and the parachute opened. And I obviously I landed safely because I'm here. And again, I think it's just God's protection, you know. It's no coincidence that you survive things like that. Another story, I was driving on the old Kai Cuttings, and that's why I don't like when someone says they're going to Mtata, I like try and avoid it. I was driving on the old Kai Cuttings before they made the new road, and it was raining, and I didn't see an oil slick, and I hit this oil slick, and the car spun around, and ended up on the other side of the road, facing the direction I came from. And most of you will know, there's like, just on the other side of the road, there's like a very, very steep drop. And somehow I stopped before the edge, and I was like, okay, then I'll put the car in first and drive and carry on. And again, it's no coincidence. That I believe was God. That's the angels just protecting me. So yeah, obviously God's got some plans for me that he doesn't want me to go just yet. I'm quite happy to go. If I had to walk out of here and get struck by lightning or something, that's cool. It's probably not impossible with the stories I've told you. But that's cool. I know where I'm going. So I don't have a problem. If I had to die in any of these circumstances since I've been a Christian, I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven, so it doesn't faze me if I die or not. And my wife knows as well. She'll be chilled about it as well. She won't be happy, but she'll know where I'm going. But what's awesome about it is when I do eventually die, when God thinks it's my time to go, then I'm going to get up to heaven and I'm going to stand in front of the judge. Remember the definition of testimony was, especially in a court of law, you're giving a testimony or a proof of evidence in a court of law. So I'm going to arrive in heaven one day and I'm going to stand there and God's going to say, okay, who are you, dude? And I'm going to say, well, and then Jesus is going to come next to me and say, no, it's all right, I know him, he's in. I'll say, yes, and then I'm in. And that's what Jesus is going to testify on our behalf. He's going to say, no, I know him, he's in. He's in the book, he's in the club. So I know that's going to happen to me. I've got no doubt about that. So I'm looking forward to that one day in the future. Okay, so I've shared stories and I've shared some testimonies. So I hope you guys have got some testimony of salvation or testimony of grace or testimony of mercy or testimony of God's provision, testimony of healing. The other day I was driving in the car and a little while ago we were praying for my friend's daughter who had some cysts on the ovary. And we prayed for her. And then as I'm driving, I get this WhatsApp message and like a illegal person, I look at the WhatsApp message while I'm driving and put my phone down again. And the WhatsApp message was, he says, no, his daughter went to the doctor and her cyst's gone. There was healing. So he sent the message straight away. It's like, cool. And so I had a work colleague in the car with me. So I thought, okay, well, this is a good opportunity. I just shared that testimony with her. That's someone else's testimony. I said, no, well, this is what happened, And she's like, oh, okay. Because she's not really a spirit-filled Christian and things like that. So I thought, well, maybe this will help. So just like a simple thing. No, check this. This was cool. Check what happened. Like, oh, okay. And I mean, that's as easy as a testimony can be to share. So I want to share some of God's word, and then I want to come back to that 570 million, which you think is impossible. The first verse I want to share is 1 Chronicles 16. There's a couple of verses in there. I'll just read it to you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing songs to him, talk of all his wondrous works. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgment of his mouth. Sing to the Lord all the earth, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. I mean, that's such an awesome verse. It's just got so much beautiful things in there to say, talk of his wondrous works, declare his glory. And that's what it is. You just got to tell him about what he's done. That's as simple as it is. There's so many things God has done in your life. And you just need to talk about it. You just need to share it. You need to talk of his wondrous works. The next verse is Acts 20:24. And read it again. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And again, it's about, what is your life? What is actually important is to be able to testify about the grace of God. Testify what God has done in your life. Then the verse most of you will be familiar with is Revelations 12:11, and that says, as they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. And that's also a very powerful verse. When people are in dark places, when evil is trying to get them down, and
create darkness, that they're not able to connect with God. The way that you battle through that, almost the hopelessness that Andre was talking about, that F4 is to give you hope. The way that you overcome that is by Jesus, by accepting Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, and about the word of your testimony, about proclaiming those things that God has done. And by doing that, you actually get breakthrough in your life. I think there's two more verses. Revelation 19:10. John was receiving this revelation and I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, "See that you do not do that. I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy." I read that and I thought, well, what does that mean? And you know, the whole Bible is a prophetic word. Everything that Jesus did, and if you look in Revelations, is what's to come. So that's what prophecy is. It's about proclaiming what is to come. So the testimony of Jesus is about the prophetic, about what is going to come. And I just thought that was like, it's about the heart of the spirit of prophecy. It's Jesus, and talking about what Jesus has done and what he is going to do. When I was speaking about testimonies, I also said it needs to be a good testimony. These days you hear the news and you just hear negative stuff on the news. Yeah, no, corruption this and death this and flooding, yeah, and people dying, yeah. And it's always very negative. I don't like really reading the news. Every now and then I'll just squiz on News 24 on the internet or something, but I'm not really keen on reading the newspaper too much because it's just too much negative news. But for us as Christians, we need to have the good news. So we need to proclaim that good news. So you'll all be familiar with Isaiah 61, where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings." And that's the emphasis, is good tidings. You don't want to go around and preach negativity. You don't want to go around and preach depression. So, I'm so depressed and everything. If you need help, that's fine. But you want to proclaim goodness. You want to say, yes, I was depressed and God brought me through. God healed me. And that's what that verse is saying. Go preach good tidings to the poor. And then also heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty, opening the prison to the captives, etc. There's also a quote, and I think it's from Bill Johnson. I wrote it down in one of these Unblocking the Wells, and I wrote it down, and I think it's from Bill Johnson, so I'll just give him the glory for it. And it's a very profound statement. He says, "When we say what God is doing, it changes things. The Spirit of God is released. Every time you offer a testimony, you bring the mercy of God into a situation." And I think that's just so awesome. You think someone's going through a difficult time. If you bring a testimony, you bring the Spirit of God is released through your testimony in that situation. So I think I want to encourage you to do that. If you know someone's going through a time, difficult time, and you've had victory over that, then go speak into their lives and release the power of God and the Spirit of God into their life. Okay, getting back to the 570, your mission. Just imagine I don't know how many people there are. Yeah, the church is a little bit empty, but I took the average of 150 people. I don't know what our normal average attendance is here. But I said, maybe there's 150 here today. So pretend that you collectively make up 150 people. Now, I think if each one of you in this church this morning were able to share a testimony with one person this next week, do you think that's possible? Okay? Yeah, I think so. Now, think a little bit. Imagine a little bit harder and think, would you be able to share two testimonies or a testimony with two different people in the week? Not too hard, eh? No. Maybe not. Okay, but now just take it like a really extreme. It's like higher grade now. Think you can share three testimonies or a testimony with three different people in the week. That's possible, eh? Yeah, okay. So if 150 of you shared a testimony with three people in a week, then you would reach 450 people in the week, okay? That's a good start. Now's a higher grade thing where the possible and improbable might come in. If you had to keep that up for 52 weeks, then how many people would you reach? I had to work this out. I had to check myself a couple of times. I'm not such a good math person. I told the tennis at the back, he needs to check me. If I'm wrong, he needs to change it. But you'd reach 23,400 people in a year.
Okay.
Still not a lot, but it's a good section. Okay. So that's year one. Just 150 of us sharing our testimony to three people each week for a year, we could reach 23,400 people.
Okay, now it becomes difficult. Year two, that 23,400 people do the same. Share testimony with three people a week, then they should be able to reach 70,200 people in a week. And then they should be able to reach 3.6 million people by the end of the second year. Okay, that's more than East London. That's like East London and Mthatha and Queenstown, I think. I don't know how many people are in there. But it's more than East London. It hasn't even got 2 million people, I think. Okay? And that should make you excited. You should think, that's like reached East London for Jesus. 2 years. East London's there. Okay, now year three. Now it becomes even more difficult. So now you take that 3.6 million people and you say, okay, this is the standard. You join Shofar Church. Your requirement for sign-up is three testimonies a week, every week. So Andre's going to write that into the membership sort of requirements, okay. And so if 3.6 million people share their testimony to three people in a week, then they're going to reach 11 million people in 1 week. Okay, and that's possible. We've got internet, we've got Facebook. I mean, most people have got about 300-400 friends on Facebook as it is. So that's possible. And if you had to take that 11 million people and share it for 52 weeks, that'll equal 570 million people. So that's in 3 years, this church could reach 570 million people. Now, I've said it's mission possible. A lot of you might say it's impossible, or maybe it's improbable. But it depends on how far are we willing to go to actually reach that target. We might not reach it, but it's about just trying, you know, trying to just share your testimony with as many people as you can and try get up to that 570 million. I've had a head start. I've got 150 done already. Last week I shared a testimony on the tithing, so I'm two up on you already. During the week I shared with another two people, so not 150, but that's 302 people. A week ago, I shared with another person, that's 303. So I've got a major head start, so you guys need a bit of catching up. Rian's also got a head start with let's just say, 150. So shot on you, Rian. Okay, before we close off, I don't know if they were supposed to show cards to say stop like about 10 minutes ago or something, but it's cool. Before we go on, maybe if the worship team can come up in the meantime. With all our eyes open, what I want to do is just ask everyone here, how many of you can testify to say, I do have a good testimony that you are able to share? Okay, cool. And I'm not saying it with the eyes closed because it's good to see that. Everyone needs to look around and say, hey, this is like encouraging. The people have got testimonies to share. But now comes for the other groups. We spoke about the groups with testimonies. We spoke about groups that people that maybe don't have a certain victory in a certain area of their life, and they're not able to put their hand up to say, I can't really put it up because I'm still struggling in a certain area. I want to pray for us. I wonder if you just close your eyes and just search your heart and you know, if anything that was said this morning has struck a note in your heart about that might be you. You might be the person that is needing victory in a certain area in your life. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's just your personal walk with God isn't where it's supposed to be. And you need to come to a place to say, God, that's me. I need a testimony. I need victory in this area. And I just want to ask you if you can, with everyone's eyes closed, just to raise your hands. Just as a sign to God that's you. You need victory in a certain area. Thanks. I see those hands. Thanks. And then the other group, the third group that we were speaking to, is about if you don't have a testimony. You haven't come to a place where you've actually given your life to God and you said, God, I'm 100% for you. I give my life to you. I commit everything I am to you.
if you don't have that testimony that you've received salvation, I just want to also just give you opportunity just to put your hand up now as well if there's anyone. Our Father God, I just want to lift this morning up to you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, that we can be here. What a privilege to be here. What a privilege just to be part of what you're doing, Lord. The privilege of challenging us to go and share the gospel, Lord. Share our testimony, share our stories, and in so doing, impact the lives of people around us. Impact East London, impact South Africa, impact beyond. And Lord, I just want to pray a blessing over each person here, Lord, that you give them the boldness, you give them the ability just to share their testimony, and just to have that excitement about reaching people, reaching the lost, reaching people that are struggling, just to come to know you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to give an opportunity for those that raise their hands for needing a testimony or needing victory in a certain area of their life. We don't want you to leave here without receiving that victory or receiving encouragement or prayer. And there were a lot of people that put their hands up that said they have received victory. So there's a lot of people here that can pray into your lives and release God's spirit and release God's presence into your life to bring that victory. So I just want to ask those that if you're bold enough just to come forward, and then some of the facilitators and church members will just pray with you and just help you to a place of getting victory and being able to share testimony. So if you can just come forward and just receive prayer from someone. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord. God, we thank you that you are good. You're always good. Father, we thank you that you're merciful. And Lord, we thank you for the power of the testimony, Lord, that as we share what you've done in our lives, God, it releases the Spirit of God, releases the presence of God over people's lives. And so, Father, we pray for each of us here this morning, Lord God. We pray for your grace and your blessing and your mercy to be revealed. God, may we know your goodness. May we know that you are good. May we expect your goodness to be revealed in every part of our being. God, we bless you for this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless your name.